Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? What are the differences in how people homeschool from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Thank you for joining us today. Here with me is Tia from Florida. Tia, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. I'm just going to have you start by telling us how many kids you have and how long you have been homeschooling and what their ages are.
Sure. So I'm kind of at the other end of homeschooling now. My sons are 17 and 18. Wow. And we started their homeschooling journey. I knew like right away when I found out I was pregnant that we were going to be homeschooling.
Oh, so you're like the old school homeschoolers.
Yeah. So we've already gone through the journey of it all, and it was an incredible experience. And yeah, so I'm really passionate about homeschooling and supporting parents and families who are choosing that path. And that's kind of been my overall mission.
That's awesome and perfect for me because I'm just starting out. My kids are 4.5 and 6 months old, and it never crossed my mind to homeschool. And now that we're at the stage where we have to decide, because my son is due to go into kindergarten in September, and I had pulled him out of daycare a couple of years ago when they started masking the three-year-olds, and that's when I started dabbling in the homeschool groups and thinking, is this something I could do? Because since they're mandating the masks now, what I imagine it will just keep progressing the amount of things that they will be doing against the parents' wishes. So this is going to be a perfect interview for me because my whole premise is, should I homeschool my kids? And not like talk me into it, but show me your experience with it. And I want to hear the good and the bad. So lay it on me. Where
there's both.
Yeah. Tell me about your journey.
There is both, for sure. I was young when I started my journey, when I had my kids. So I was very much just kind of in a place of coming out of that school system. And I just felt like I saw so much of it being that suppression already happening in the system back then. It just kind of like came to light now with the mask. It got so obvious now that you're like, okay, this is really taking place. Now we have to decide some things as parents. But even back then, I was like a little iffy about, you know, would they get enough in that experience, in that environment? You know, cause I didn't really feel like I did. So homeschooling was right off the bat a plan. And I started by really just making community and making friends and seeing like who else was kind of feeling the same way. And then that's really where the journey started. It started with another mom who was also like really feeling passionate about homeschooling, and our kids were like two together. And we just started deciding that like, we're going to make this a journey. We're just going to play, and everything was going to become education. So as a family and as like friends that were around us, that we were going to do this with the kids and just really make this whole education like an exploration. And with the foundation of like really loving how to learn really was our goal. So that's what really excited us, was just getting them interested and curious about things. And we didn't really focus so heavy on, I guess, the curriculum. That's what I noticed a lot of. It's all about like getting the right curriculum and curriculum and curriculum. And we didn't really see that in our experience. In our experience, it was more about the experience that they could have. And if we wanted to learn about nature, we went out in nature and we played in the dirt and we talked about different things. And when we were learning letters, it was, you know, in chalk and in shaving cream and just sensory and fun. And it wasn't, learning for them was never like sitting down and like feeling overwhelmed when they were younger. It came in stages. And this is why like the younger part was so fun. We had such a blast. It was, my sons were only 15 months apart, so they were kind of like in a similar developmental stage. So it was kind of fun. They got to really play with each other and have interaction that way too. It got It got a little bit more challenging as they got a little bit older, and I wanted to make sure that they had some stronger foundation and they could really write a good paragraph and, because these are skills that you're going to need, if you want to go out into the world. So you don't want to set them up with, nothing, no skill. So unschooling was kind of like where we were at in our approach. I would say it was more like an unschool method. We didn't have like a up until this point, I would say like when they were maybe 9, it was really just more this exploration. And then once we got into that 9-year-old age, we were like, okay, so we want to give them a little bit more. So then we realized what our strengths were and where we needed to fill in for them. And we really got involved in co-ops, and that's where we met this wonderful woman who basically was with us all the way until the kids went to high school. She's a fantastic homeschool mom and teacher and patient. Like, I've never met a soul this patient to work with kids in the way that she does. And she gets them excited about language arts, and doing like and learning. And she really brings out like the joy of writing, So we ran into her through a co-op, and she kind of became our like support team for homeschooling. And she really worked with my kids solely one-on-one and together for the next couple of years. And she really gave them such an awesome foundation of, writing and wanting to learn how to do more, and even a little bit in math. But we had other programs and stuff we did for math. But so as they got older, we really like explored the village. We really branched out. We really pulled in all the resources we could. And that's kind of what we did through the up until the high school point. And yeah, it was really just an amazing journey. Even though it was tricky as they got a little older, my younger son really was like, nope, I don't want to have anything to do with anything structured. No, thank you. And my older son was like, yeah, all right, let's see how this goes. So that became a whole challenge of its own when they say like, no, I don't want to do this. And that really turned into us have it, that really turned into a whole new lesson for the whole family of how to re-inspire him to want to do these things. And that became, his journey. And now they're both brilliant, bright, honor, like completely honor roll, like amazing. They chose their own path in high school. They've excelled in so many awesome ways, and they're so incredibly different in a way. They have a whole different look on life than the kids that they're friends with that went to school their whole life. So I can see the beauty in all of the program. I feel like they really had the whole thing where we unschooled, then we more structured homeschooled, then they got the experience of a school, even though it was private and not public, and it was, geared towards what we were looking for, but still they got that experience through high school. So in a nutshell, that's our whole journey, and it was wonderful.
I love it. A couple questions. So now your younger son, who really wasn't into the structure, do you feel that he is prepared for, say, college or a work environment? Or will that be something that he just knows now to tailor to his needs? Maybe he doesn't need a college, or he can do more of an online course. Maybe he's looking at a career where it's not a structured thing. What do you think?
So I'm watching him now, and he is. I think the thing with him was once he chose that this is what he wanted to do, he wanted to learn. He loves working with tools, he loves building, and there were things about that that he wanted to learn. So once he found something that he was inspired by, learning became really easy. And that was really the whole thing is that he's right now he gets straight A's. So and I don't even look at grades. It's nothing. They have no pressure. Like I think that's another reason that they do really well where they're at now is because for us, we don't even look at their grades. The SAT, it's none of that really is even in our field. We're just like totally encouraging them to have a great time and to really excel at whatever they want to do. And by doing that, what we're seeing is that they absolutely know how to learn. He absolutely retains information. He doesn't fight it because he wants to do it. So I think that on the other side of that is, yeah, he learned how to kind of carve his way through. So I think that he's more aware of picking a career that, you know, fits his way of wanting to be, which was kind of our goal from the beginning, is giving them more of a view of what's out there than like just this for 12 years.
Yeah, I really like that, because I've always said there is no course that they really teach in school that I'm aware of that tells you all the careers there are out there. You know, you get the basics, but I remember thinking, why would I have to pick a major? I don't know all the jobs. Like, show me all the jobs out there so I can pick one and what they do. And I was never able to find that. And also for myself, so I became a state worker because that's what my parents did. And I've been in a cubicle for 15 years and really don't enjoy it. I've always felt like I'm not being fulfilled, but they get you with the health insurance and the pension and, you know, the time off and the security. But my husband, who does commercial HVAC, he has a t-shirt that says death before cubicles. And so he's like, I could never. He's, you know, works in some of the state buildings doing the HVAC there, and he's on a roof one day and in a basement another day, and, you know, just a different all the time. And he would rather be on a freezing cold roof in January in upstate New York than to be sitting in a cubicle for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. So I think that's so important to, you know, if you like sitting in a cubicle, that's fine, but you're giving him the experience of seeing that. You said something else, because I'm battling the learning of the letters right now with my 4.5-year-old, and he is in a preschool 3 days a week for 2.5 hours, and they'll do a letter, you know, once a week. We got a note home, everybody did, I think, saying, you know, we really need you to work with the kids with the letters. Try some flashcards. So we tried the flashcards, and it's, hey, Colin, what's this letter? I don't know. Go over it for 5 minutes. It's an N. It's an N. It's an N. And then 2 minutes later, Colin, what's this letter? I don't know. Is it Q? And it's like, but then again, he's only 4.5. He has no context. I'm doing it completely wrong. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you said the shaving cream. I'm like, oh my Lord, would he love that and learn it then? So tell me about what is it with the shaving cream? How do you do it?
So anything sensory is really fun for kids. So sand, shaving cream, outside chalk. If you want to get messy with like food and chocolate and strawberries and letters, I mean, you can really go, you know, anywhere you want to go with it. But it's really just getting them excited. And like, we would do this one game where like we would hold up something and they would like draw on the wall the letter it started with the shaving cream.
Okay.
Like the bathroom wall. So we would do that in there. And then, or like the same kind of concept outside where we would do like the sidewalk chalk. And we would just make it fun and playful and like whatever, wherever they were at in the moment, if they were into like, you know, scavengering outside for different things, for rocks and sticks, then we would pick up a bunch of things and then we would go back and use our sidewalk chalk, trace it. And then, you know, I would write the letters and then they would write the letters. So we would just make it like fun. They didn't even know that they were learning. They were just right. Like, oh, this is cool. We're playing with chalk and sticks.
Oh, that's so fun.
It's doing stuff like that. And especially in that age group, I mean, they're really just sponges at that point. But I feel like if you try to pinhole them into learning, like a flashcard, like a sit down session, I don't know. Like, I feel like that age gets a little wiggly and they're just kind of like, I don't really know about all this. What 100%. Are you doing with me here?
He has no context to like know why he needs to know what the letter N looks like. And then it's like, yeah. That's just recognizing it. Now you got to learn the sound and put it in a word. And so I can imagine if it's boring for him at the very start, there's going to be no drive to learn the rest of it. So I will definitely have to change up.
And parents really struggle with teaching their kids how to read. Like that being like, my kid has to learn how to read. The kids learn how to read kind of when they get excited to read. So as soon as was so like, because I did the whole thing and the letters and everything was great and they were getting it all. But then when we started putting it together to learn how to read, I was finding a little frustration because I'm not a reading teacher. I don't really even, I wasn't really like sure how to even go about that process. I did get some support and some help and we did do like some different things. But what I realized is that the moment he wanted to know how to read, because he wanted to do something, he wanted to interact with his Lego game, like that, he was reading. Like, it was amazing. Yeah. Like, he wanted to learn how to read. He learned how to read. So as soon as you can show them how it becomes valuable in their life, then they're like sponges. It's like they're listening the whole time from the moment right. they come into the world. So it's just like sparking that is what I found for both of them. Once they became sparked, we didn't need a curriculum. They learned how to read and like they were just like, okay, this is why right. I want to do this.
It gave them the context to know why you're trying to teach it. Yeah, because yes, a letter N, okay, that's great. What do I need it for? And I've always felt that way about school, as you know, and I went to public school, and why do I need to know this? That was like always my question. It's not that I have a problem learning it, but tell me why I need to know it so that I can put it in a context and know that it's going to be beneficial in some way. And if it's not going to be, why are we wasting our time on it?
Yep, 100%.
So your kids, you said they are 17 and
18.
18 right now. So what are their plans going forward?
So my 18-year-old just got accepted to college and he's off, he goes into his world. He has a whole plan ahead, wants to study abroad, the whole nine.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, and my younger son has got another year left. And I think that he's kind of interested in trade schools because he wants to build, but he's also possibly interested in college. He's still a little bit more in flux, but either way, he's setting himself up to do either, as far as, you know, what he's doing and where he's excelling and stuff. And they both are very active in sports. And the best part is, like, they chose it all. Like, each thing they wanted to do along the way. And that's really what we wanted to instill in them. We never wanted them to feel that pressure of, like, you have to do this and you have to achieve this and you have to be gold at that. And we just really wanted them to see what they enjoyed. And so now that we're at the other end of it, and I'm like, wow, so a lot of this worked.
Like, that's awesome.
Because you don't know when you're going through it. You're like, I'm really praying all of this works out well, you know, because you don't know. I mean, you're just doing the best you can as a parent with the skills that you have and the tools that you have and the community that you have. But now that I'm seeing them and I'm seeing their drive and where they're going and I talk to them and you're like, wow, these are real adults that I'm talking to at this point. And it's really cool to see it play out from this end and not have all that worry the whole time of like,
right,
you're doing this right. Is this the right co-op? Are these the right people?
Yeah. And mistakes are okay too. And, you know, because you build on them and learn what doesn't work. So tell me a little bit about the reporting requirements in Florida and how that worked with your unschooling process.
We are so blessed in Florida. We have a school here in Florida that's set up in Central Florida, and it's a school of unschoolers. And so you can basically become registered with an unschooling school. And that's what we did up until they went to high school. And we were just registered with this unschooling school. So we kind of got around all of that, like homeschooling and all of the things and the requirements that you need to do all of that, because I think there's a lot in there. So this was a way that we were able to kind of dance around that and be part of an unschooling community and an unschooling school. And that's what we did there. So I do think that as far as like the regulations in Florida goes, I don't think that they're too crazy, but they are definitely, they definitely deter some parents from taking the steps into homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And that I think is like the biggest deterrent, really, is all the requirements and will the portfolio be good? And like, am I getting meeting all my requirements that I need? And so we were able to not have to do any of that, which made our experience that much nicer.
Because you were enrolled in this unschooling school?
Mm-hmm.
So did they actually attend it like a co-op? Or was it something you reported to the unschooling school?
Yeah, it was we reported to this unschooling school and what our unschooling method was that month. And that was basically what we did. And that was how we worked. And because unschooling is virtually, schooling through exploration, there's really no structure, necessarily one structure to it. It left us able to really create anything we wanted to as far as our education platform went for them.
And then what kind of high school? I know you said that they are actually attending a school right now. Is it a
Yes.
public school, high school?
Now it's a private school, high school. And we based it on what their interests were, what they wanted to do, what sports they wanted to do. And it wasn't our choice. We were willing to homeschool them all the way through. They really wanted to take this step. They wanted this experience. So we wanted them to have it if that's what they wanted. So we gave them, a few schools to choose from that we felt like were aligned with what we wanted to still offer them. And they chose, and they've been really excelling. And that's, how he's going into college and going to be studying abroad and whatnot. So, yeah, and that was a big step for us because I was not very, I was not overly excited about them going to school. I was feeling more like, no, let's keep, journeying and see how we can do this together. But I could also see that they're big boys. They're like 6'4". They wanted to like get out in the world and experience things. So I do feel like we found a space that nurtured them as well as gave them the environment that they were looking for, which was really the real reason that I wanted to homeschool to begin with, is because I wanted them to feel confident in making choices. So in the end, I felt like this was a choice that I needed to support them in so they could feel that confidence in making these choices for themselves.
Yeah, and I think in New York, I mean, I'm trying to think of private schools here. For the majority of it, it's just a Christian school or public school. I know that for elementary age, there is one school that does more forestry, maybe type stuff, but I have heard that they're also pushing the kind of the new agenda, or quote unquote woke agenda. So I don't know that we have specific, like if you are wanting to go into the trades, this is where you'd go without being enrolled in the public school. And then in New York, we also have that the religious exemptions were taken away from us in 2019. So if you haven't gotten, every vaccine, and that's part of the reason why you're homeschooling, you can't just choose later on. Unless you said, okay, well, we'll catch up on the vaccination schedule. But that, so it's kind of a twofold thing. If you have lacked a little bit on that side, you can't just jump into public school or private school later on until you've met those requirements as well. So I feel like we have a couple more hurdles up in New York to go on. But it sounds like you have a little bit more option with your private schools as well. Like here, I think just Catholic school. I know the one all boys school just turned into co-ed. Because I don't think they were getting the amount of people in it. I'm not sure if that's why, but it seems to, why would you expand it to both genders if you have a full enrollment with boys only? So I feel like that's lacking. Even the private schools are lacking here.
Well, yeah, I mean, New York is a whole different ball game. And it's not like we have a ton of options in Florida either. We actually this was the only private school we offered them in Florida. The other ones we were looking at were in the Carolinas because basically we fall in the same thing. It's either like private, some religious kind of thing, or you're in public. So this one school here just happened to have, what they were looking for, but it really was that. It was like there's one option here in Florida. So
Yeah.
it's kind of the same, as far as like the schools go themselves. Yeah, that would we looked throughout their whole schooling, for that right place, for that right community, for that right. And we found a couple like when they were younger, like little forest type of schools and stuff like that. But even especially back then, I feel like even now and even in the last 3 years, homeschooling communities have really expanded. But even back then for us, we kind of fell into this gray area because we didn't really have, say, like a religious, connection. And most of the homeschooling programs back then were all that, like mostly
Right.
Christian based, somewhat. That, you know, so it was just, it was, we didn't really fit into any one community there in that way. So until we got into this co-op, that was kind of really just an open-hearted, you know, empowering, encouraging place for the kids, which was what I was looking for. So we were really blessed to find that little group. But yeah, it's the same thing. Schools are really challenging to find a really good school that aligns.
Yeah, so, I'm surprised there aren't more private schools that, you know, aren't Catholic schools, which, I mean, it's fine for me. I wouldn't have anything against that, but but there are people that, you know, okay, we'll say that's not our religion. And we're just looking for more of the kind of teach them how to shoot, teach them more how to grow a garden and how to, you know, do kind of the trades like that or work more into auto mechanic, but from an earlier age and have that kind of be, or computers and have that be the way that they're learning in all the subjects kind of has that basis. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to start a school now.
Yeah, that's actually like where, so when my kids were little, I was real blessed because my job is really my job is my community. So it's always been based around the kids and what we were doing. So when they were little, starting a school was that's what we did. We had a little community of kids and they were learning different life skills is what we had, what was basically what it was all centered around, and just really building different life skills. And so we did that in different ways throughout their whole, you know, educational experience. We would build these groups to kind of dive deeper into gardening and different programs. So yeah, I think if you're going to homeschool, you want to build community.
Was that your co-op or was that something separate?
Yeah, so the co-op, so what I realized through that though was actually building the community yourself as like the person who's directing it and like holding that space as a homeschooling mom is challenging. So because you are trying to homeschool as well and you want them to have all of your attention because it's for such a short time that you have them with you. So I found that starting something myself wasn't in alignment back then, and that joining something that I could really just fully focus on my own kids was really in alignment for me back then. So that was a co-op that we joined. And now that my kids are older, I'm able to support, rejoin into that homeschooling community as a support for homeschooling families. And that's what we're doing right now with our online platform.
Oh, that's amazing. So you were telling me a little bit before the call about the online platform. And that's something that you created?
Yes.
Oh, so tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's called the Adventure Education Program. And it's basically a community for homeschooling families. And we have an interactive virtual world. And it's like very holistically set up. They learn everything from building mental health muscles, mindfulness games, lots of different arts and crafts. We have language arts. Thedra is one of our main teachers through there. So parents get support setting up curriculum. They get support finding rhythm in their day as homeschooling families. And the kids get to come in and they get to socialize with each other up to 2 hours a day with facilitator-led activities. So it's a place that kids get to build community, parents get to build community, and we get to support everybody. And our whole program is really based around what interests the kids have. So every month we meet with the kid, they tell us what they're interested in, what they want to learn more about, and then we dive into that next month. So for instance, like writing is really on the top of the girls' list this month. They really want to They're working on writing their books in the adventure program right now. So next month we have some young authors coming to talk to them, to inspire them. We have another girl who's really interested in like CPR and the medical world. And we have somebody coming in to talk about wilderness and CPR and that kind of thing. So we also bring in guest speakers based on their interests. So it's really a homeschooling, like our whole thing is we want the homeschooling parents to be able to come in, build through here, what they want for their kids, what they want their kids to learn. So it's kind of an open platform. We can kind of add any classes and adventures we want into there. So it's just really a space that we want to hold for homeschooling families.
And this is all online, or do you meet physically too?
No, so this is all online through our virtual space. And once we have, I would say like once we've have, because we've just really started this established, we've kind of just moving out of our beta testing phase even, as far as like the technical part of it all. So once we really have a good group built up, we really want to do retreats where everybody can come together a couple times a year. Because right now we have people that are in South Carolina, we have people that are in California, Ecuador. So we want eventually we'll get everybody together a couple times a year as a community.
That's what I was just going to ask. Is it just Florida, or are you serving other states and obviously countries too? That's amazing, because I'm sure some people listening to this will be interested in that. So I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that wasn't near a pen and couldn't jot that down. You can pop into the notes and find that. This is amazing. I can see this getting really big over time, especially as more and more parents start to homeschool. What have you seen as far as the homeschool community, from when you started homeschooling years ago to today?
Total different, totally different. I mean, there's so much more support for homeschooling families. There's so many more options. I mean, the amount of there were no online options when my kids were little. I mean, there's so many options now. And I mean, I think obviously the last couple of years of life really propelled it even further into people wanting to homeschool. I think that really kind of like blossomed it all, but I think that there is so much more opportunity to build community around homeschooling for different types of homeschooling. And I really hope that, you know, like you were saying, like even school options, I hope that school options get more abundant too, because homeschooling isn't right for every family. Not every family. I mean, it does take a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of you. I mean, a lot of you as a mom to homeschool your kid and or your children at that. So it's not necessarily for everyone. And to have better school options is like, I think has always been one of our fundamental like goals as a community to eventually host an actual physical space. Because yeah, I think that, you know, it's nice to be able to bring your kids somewhere and know that they're nurtured, loved, and being encouraged and empowered, and not have to worry about all this other stuff that could be going on. So I do
Absolutely.
hope that we have more of those options too.
Yeah, and I guess it's something I never even thought about. I didn't, my kids were always too young, or I didn't have kids. I had them, in my mid-30s is when I started having kids, and just never crossed my mind that there's really only two options out there, or, well, three if you count homeschool, but we didn't know anybody homeschooling growing up. It wasn't big, and it just seems like now that I've delved into the community here, I know way more homeschoolers than I do kids in public school. And I know my son's so young, so I guess that's just what I'm exposing ourselves to right now. But I'm taken aback at how many homeschoolers there actually are. It's really interesting. And the first episode I did of this podcast was just me going over why I want to, and then my fears around homeschooling. And it just seems that, I mentioned before, the healthcare choices in New York and places like New York and California is just one. But then when you look into the curriculum and the sort of dumbing us down that they're doing to make children not have the life skills that you were talking about, and, you can get into school shootings when you think of who's, allowed in locker rooms. And now I have a 6-month-old daughter, and who's going to be in her locker rooms now, and what are their intentions? And it really just snowballs from reason after reason after reason. It's not this one thing or one issue. And then I kind of look at it like, well, now I feel like I'd be crazy to send them to public school.
But I get why that's, you know, I get why that is the option that people choose, because we are so limited on our options, and
Sure.
people need to do things, they need to work and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, they just don't empower kids. I mean, that's just not what they're meant for. And I think that like it just, even if you send your kids to school, like I think getting them involved in something that's really empowering, really opening, really something different than, they're experiencing at the school is super important because they just don't get enough love and nurturing and really healthy community at school. Like they build community, but it's not healthy. They don't ever learn how to like really healthy relate with each other. The trauma they go through with each other just by bullying and relationships and never really knowing how to communicate, skills they never really learn. So you just have this like group of people that are trying to figure it all out together. It's just kind of an unhealthy scene.
And it's funny because like in New York, a teacher has to go to school, the 4-year degree, and then another 2 years of a master's. So by the time they graduate, they're in so much debt, they have to work. So, yeah. You're just, it's not like you have the pick of the litter. You're getting a job at whatever school is going to offer you that. And then the schools a lot of times don't provide all the services. The classes are overfilled. They're not evaluating students in a timely manner to maybe put them in a different classroom, a different situation, a different learning style. So from the teachers I talk to, the classes are just so big. And there are kids with severe mental issues, learning disabilities, and that's what they spend the majority of their time coping with during the day to make it so, so I can't imagine a student that can easily learn. Now their time is taken up by, well, we got to make sure everyone else in the class is safe because this child is having a tantrum and whatnot. As I think, process that in my mind, it's like, well, how does any of us, come out okay on the other side? And just thinking for myself, like there were certain subjects that I really wanted to learn at and excel at. I wanted to do well in math. I remember having my mom sign a waiver to put me in the advanced math class. I probably had like a friend in it or a boy I liked or something. And that's really my motives. But I remember struggling to do well in this class. And I met with the teacher a couple times and they were just like, well, you should just go back into the mainstream classroom. But at that point, they had already moved ahead and I was behind in like the class that I probably should have been in the first place. So I remember math just going downhill for me from there. It was like, you missed a little bit and it was a big school. And even when I did go for one-on-one help, I don't know that it really did a whole lot because it felt like a rush situation or, you look like you're going for detention after school. So, you didn't really want to ask and you didn't want to look like, you weren't smart. So I remember feeling like pushed along and then kind of held back and then never really felt individualized. And then I ended up a state worker. So.
I mean, I think that that's the coolest part of having my kid, like being on the other side of this homeschooling thing, is that I can really see how they form their own individual identity. And I can see how like some of the other kids, they have been so pushed along and there is this whole different level of anxiety and pressure that they have for the grades and the college and the whole thing that they don't even know. They haven't even started thinking about their identity right now. Their whole focus is just like, how do I get through all of this pressure that I'm under right now for all of that? And it's so kind of sad and heartbreaking to me because they're like, there's so much pressure as an adult. It's not like it gets less pressureful as you get older, it's just like full of pressure. So I just think at this young age to allow them to just have some more freedom and not have all that that feeling of already failure and that right. They're not doing good enough. I really think that there is a certain level of individuality that kids get that are homeschooled or have a different educational experience. Just because you choose homeschooling like we did, we chose it for a long time and then they decided to do something else. And I think that you can have that flux and you can figure it out if you want to do that as a family. But I do think that like starting off, it does give them this sense of individuality. It gives them this sense of who they are. It allows them to get confident in making decisions. I think there's so many benefits to keeping your community and your village and your kids close through those ages.
And to just know how you learn best,
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. So did you have to give up? I mean, you said from the very beginning you knew that you wanted to homeschool. So when you were pregnant, did you have to say like, okay, I'm giving up a career here? Or you were young, so was that just kind of an
I was
easy, you
young,
hadn't
but
really
I was already
established?
fully I was fully like already on my path too. Like I knew what I wanted to do and I knew where I wanted to serve community and I knew that I really wanted to bring this message through of kind of like sacred parenting. So I was kind of already even in this space before I found out that I was pregnant and that I was going to, but I felt young, you know, so I knew that I had a lot of growing to do. So I kind of used all my skills and we did everything we did, I did in my work, I did with the kids. So it was like family festivals and mindful kid festivals and mindful retreats for families and just different stuff like that, that I was working, but I was still like there with the kids. And that was kind of how I was able to manage it all. But then even that got to a point, like I was saying, where I realized I had to back off even from that for. And it was like a good like 7 years that I like really backed off and just focused fully on homeschooling because I wanted to just I could see that the time was drifting really fast. And I was like, whoa, these kids are taller than me. You know, like this is gonna be they're gonna be off on their own very fast. So I decided that pausing on all of my work stuff was very worth it and really focusing on them. And now I'm in a whole different place. They're driving, they're off, they're leaving, they're like, and now I'm like, I have the whole rest of my life to do, you know, whatever I want to create and do.
Right.
So, yeah, it wasn't, it, I didn't ever felt like it was that big of a sacrifice to say, like, okay, so I'm gonna be here fully present, you know, because it was such a short time, really, in the spectrum of it, you know, it goes fast.
It goes fast. Our lives go fast. And I think sometimes, myself included, I have to pump the brakes and say, like, okay, money and security is one thing, but I do think that there is kind of an agenda behind that too, to keep us from, building those strong bonds at home. And the sacrifice, I think when you're at the end of your life on your deathbed and you look back on it, it's going to be clear where you feel, really mattered. So that makes a lot of sense. Also, I don't know, this is something you're one or both of your boys could think about, but I love hearing the perspectives of the students who were homeschooled. And since they're, older, if they ever want to come on and tell me about, what they loved about it or didn't like and just their experience, that would be awesome too. So plant that seed in their mind.
I will,
Is there anything
for
else that
sure.
you wanted to make sure that you talked about today?
No, just really, you know, and enjoy the journey if you decide to go down that path and keep it playful and yeah, and definitely if you're interested in extra support and you want to meet some other homeschooling moms and like from around the country and see what they're doing and stuff, you're welcome to pop in and it's free to be part of the community and everything, so you can just join and connect
That's
with
what I meant
other homeschooling parents.
to ask you. The Adventure Education Program, does that have a fee?
So there are lots of aspects that are free. We do have a day drop-in and we have a monthly membership.
Great. All right. So that's where the
So
listeners
you
can
have
check
a
you
lot
out
of
as
options.
well.
Yep. Awesome.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for meeting with us today, Tia. This has been a great talk. I learned once again so much. It's really fascinating to me. I've been talking to homeschool moms for the last year and a half, and I'm like, I need to put this, record this and then share it with people, because there's no way, if I'm learning so much every single time, other parents want to know too. Even longtime homeschoolers, I'm sure, never knew that, a website like this or a platform like this is available. And then that leads people to start their own, or, whether it is a school of their own. I'll be interviewing a woman who started a forestry school out in Western New York soon. So it's just so neat that parents are kind of taking control. They're like, I don't like what I'm seeing, and I'm going to take control of my child's life. And they're learning, and it's wonderful to see. So, where can people find you?
So people can find us at innerblisssanctuary.com. And they can just click on community and they'll be connected into our program and they'll see everything that we're offering.
Okay. And is that your podcast as well?
Yep, they'll be able to, once they hit community, they'll see our podcast and they can see some interviews we've had with different teachers and building curriculum as homeschooling parents and stuff.
Great. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Well, I love this mission you're on too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Homeschool How To. If you've enjoyed what you heard, please consider helping me out by sharing this podcast with friends, with your homeschool community, and even to your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. As a new podcast, we're really trying to get our episodes out there so that we can keep going. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show and tell us about your homeschooling experience, email me at thehomeschoolhowto@gmail.com or visit thehomeschoolhowto.com and send me a message through Facebook or Instagram. Thank you for your time and for your love of the next generation. We'll see you next week.